Thanks for listening to this podcast of Trending with Timory. If you haven't already subscribed, please catch us wherever you love to listen to your podcasts, from the Relevant Radio app to Apple, YouTube, you name it, we are there. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go and give us a 5-star review to help other people discover the podcast. Anything you share in terms of episodes, whether it's texting it to a friend, posting on social media, helps to build up the kingdom for God, to help confront the challenging issues we face as a culture, but with joy, with hope, and with an eternal perspective where our faith collides with everyday life, bringing eternal principles to help us live our life joyfully.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Did anyone see, and don't look it up because it's not worth it, but did you see that Adidas ad a couple weeks ago where they had 25 faces, or should I say images, of faceless women topless? And I'm not just saying topless, like we're talking about full-on nude here, as their advertisements for sports bras. Like, hey, yeah, let's advertise to women and totally objectify them. I never talked about it, but it's interesting, so we're going to talk about vanity later. What do you think? Do you think that this so-called body positive culture that people are trying to push forward is a body positive culture when it includes the nudity and the exploitation of women? And does it have anything to do with the challenge of vanity in our culture? Would love to hear from you. The number's 1-888-914-9149. You can share your thoughts or comments live during the show, or you can also ask your question or share your thought live on Instagram. I put up a question box. We would love to hear from you. So please go ahead and reach out to me on Instagram at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Okay, I've been wanting to talk about this. I briefly touched on Ukraine yesterday. I do want to talk today about how abortion and contraception actually have to do with what's happening in Ukraine, and how only a Catholic approach to the human person can salvage crises like we are seeing between Russia and Ukraine, or from Russia to Ukraine right now. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Have you heard the news about what's happening with TikTok? And there's been a 8-state investigation has been launched into TikTok. The attorney generals of 8 states, by the way, being led by California, is diving into what's happening with TikTok, its effects on children, both in terms of physical health as well as mental health. Joining me now to discuss this is Melanie Hempe from ScreenStrong.com. Do you want to take back your kid from the digital world? Well, Melanie Hempe is here to tell you why it's important and how to do that. We're going to talk about how to help your kids and teens reduce video game and social media use. So this is your hour to ask questions, especially of Melanie, because she's here to help you get your kids back and help buy back their happiness with how you approach technology. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Melanie Hempe, welcome to Trending.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and save some kids today. So let's get going.
Praise God. Okay, so it's interesting if we're looking at what's happening with TikTok. The major concern is, so we know, if you're not aware, TikTok is a social media platform that centers around short videos. You might have seen, you know, these little dances where people kind of jiggling their bodies side to side and then pointing at text, or other dances that are choreographed, information, funnies, you name it, they're there. The big concern is that with 1 billion monthly users, we're seeing that these 8 states led by California are actually diving into a massive probe to TikTok. The concerns predominantly are, number one, violation of children's privacy. Get the hint, children. And two, facilitating human trafficking. And I'll add a third that they're not saying, it's not listed, but actually what this is outright grooming of children sexually. And also we're seeing TikTok is linked to the grooming of children into an LGBTQ identity, coaching toward everything from hiding things from their parents to suddenly identifying as something that they don't identify. doesn't actually match their biological sex. And it's leading to everything from mutilation in terms of sex reassignment, so-called sex reassignment surgeries, to even cross-sex hormones that are so damaging. So this is a really big deal. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Melanie, because you are working at the forefront of the crisis between technology, social media, and teens. What are your thoughts?
Well, my first thought is just to say to parents out there that it really is worse than you think. So it's very hard for parents in the generation that they're in to just get their head around this, right? Because we just can't imagine. And so all the stuff that you just said, Timmarie, is very, very true. It's not fear-mongering. We are not just trying to, you know, make a big deal about something that's not a big deal. This is a much bigger deal than parents realize. One of the things that I want to point out is that, of course, everybody, the kids that are really suffering on TikTok are just so young. They're very, very young. Most families get their kids' phones by the age of 10 or 12. And along with that comes all of the access to certain social media apps. And parents, again, they say, well, we won't allow these apps, but their kids are getting them anyway. And most kids have two or three hidden apps. They have private accounts. So if you're out there listening and you have kids and you think that you're following your kids' apps, you very well may not be following their apps. A lot of children who have parents who say no social media, they just get social media on their best friend's phone. They just put another account and get to it that way. So it's worse than most parents realize. I don't know how else to say it. Your kids should not have this app at all.
Okay, and just to give an example for maybe someone who's listening, okay, parents, you have been there. I remember some of my friends who were anywhere between their 30s and late 40s, what they did to hide things from their parents was they got a P.O. box, signed up for the P.O. box, and had things such as school grades sent to the P.O. box or other things, and then their parents didn't know. Get your birth control, get your grades there. Perfect. Well, here we have to understand kids are doing the same things that you yourself did. Yes, they hide things from their parent. They hide things that they are ashamed of. And so I don't think this should be a newsflash. The thing is that it's just more easily done today, like you said, with a friend's a phone or on a school computer. And this is the reality. So Melanie, let's talk a little bit more about this because it's one, the fact that they are getting on these apps no matter what. But then it's two, a lot of parents will say, well, I'm okay. I do limit screen time, but they're still okay with certain things that are seemingly not a problem that are actually problems on the screens. And this is why TikTok is actually being investigated.
Well, exactly. And this is why no parent should allow really their kids to have a smartphone. And I know that sounds really crazy, but that is just the way it is. Smartphones are, you're opening up to all of this. If you think you can lock down a smartphone, you can't. You cannot be the only family in the world that figured out how to do it because kids are always around it. They always get around it. And I'm not saying that kids are bad people. They're not. They're just doing what kids are supposed to do. They are seeking novelty. They think it's really fun to figure out how to get around parental control. So really the best thing we know from science, the best thing is to keep our kids as far away from this temptation during the time when their brains are still developing. And what we know about their brains right now, Timmarie, this is what's really interesting, is there are mirror neurons in everybody's brain. So when your child is watching something like a TikTok video, and you're exactly right, what you're talking about as far as the sexual content, everything is very suggestive. But well, I won't say everything is, because what I'll say is that parents will watch their kids do these silly little dances, and they come to me and they say, Melanie, it's just so cute and fun. And what is wrong with this? Mm-hmm. What is the big deal? And then, you know, a month later they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what my daughter did or what she saw. But these brain neurons are mirror neurons and they see on the screen what's happening. And you immediately as a human being want to copy what you see. This is just part of our development and who we are as people. And we're very relational human beings, and we need to be in community, and we want to be like the people around us. So, you know, be careful, little eyes, what you see, right? This is what we know is true, because when our kids are watching this, they then start to do it, and it starts off very innocent, just like everything else, right? It starts off like cute, fun little dances, and then before you know it, your child is being fed through an algorithm, very specific types of videos. And for example, if they're dealing with if they know they've got a teenage girl watching this, which of course many girls do, and we've talked before about that, about why girls are so much more drawn to this than boys. But then they start showing her videos of very thin people, for example. If you type in thin, then you get a lot of these anorexia type of videos and content coming in. It is shocking how parents don't understand that the algorithms are being designed specifically to get your child to do certain things. Like, it's out of their control. Like, they're not just watching cute little videos.
It's interesting you mentioned the anorexia side of it, because I grew up in the dancing world. There was a lot of pressure in some areas, you know, to be the right body type, to fit in. You know, I danced with and worked with ballet companies across the nation. I danced with a Russian ballet company in Washington, D.C. in the summers. And one of the companies that was always a challenge was the San Francisco Ballet Company, because they had a body type that was unrealistic for the vast majority of human beings. And, you know, I remember in person there would be situations where certain girls were known to be anorexic, and you know, whether they were not eating enough in front of you, you know, anorexic or bulimic, or you know, they were there throwing up in the bathroom, you know, people would see firsthand, face to face, yes, that person's extremely skinny, yes, she may be getting attention because she's that body type that this company's pushing on her, but also people would see this young girl suffering coming in and out of the bathroom throwing up. They would also see her suffering as she looked at food. And so the vast majority of girls that I was around would say, like, hey, that's not right, that's not okay. But when we go to the digital world, and this is where most people are living, there's not that level of face-to-face engagement to see all the other moments behind the scenes as to why anorexia or bulimia is harmful. They're only seeing the photo where the girl looks skinny and the encouragement in that direction. They're not seeing the full picture of face-to-face interaction of what a bulimic or anorexic lifestyle actually is for someone and how they're suffering.
And all they know is that, those particular posts and videos get a lot of likes and a lot of attention. So they associate all of that with being popular. And when you are young, when you are 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, this is your main goal in life. Number one, to be famous, and number two, to be like everybody else. And so TikTok is got it perfectly curated just for the teenage girl, especially the girls. The girls with the anxiety and the depression, the suicide rates, everything is just going up. And these cities that you talked about, that, you know, the states that are pulling this thing together, I mean, good for them. But what I'm going to say, I think that, you know, my hat is off to anyone who's wanting to go after TikTok. But what I want to say is to the parents out there, you don't have time for all that to happen. What you have to do is be the coach and take back your kids and remove access. It's very simple. The solution is very simple. You cannot keep your kids from seeing stuff. If they have a smartphone, if they have these apps, even if you haven't allowed these apps, we've already cleared up the fact that they're going to still get the apps, right? So if they have a smartphone, they're going to be exposed to all of this. And parents need to understand that this is not how we condition our kids, and this is not how we teach them discernment, by giving them all the wrong stuff to look at. That is not how your kids are going to learn to discern. The way they're going to learn to discern is by not having it, by being under your roof, listening to you, you mentoring them with good things and all the wonderful things that they should be doing as children. They should not be watching these videos. They should not be doing these dances that are making them do very provocative things. They know, Timory, they know that the more scantily clad you are, the more likes you get. And it goes straight down this rabbit hole that it's all programmed to do this. This is how it's all programmed.
The wife of, or former wife of, the belated Hugh Hefner, I believe Heather Hefner is her name, she's gone so-called modest, and she's dressing much more modestly than she did before. She was a Playboy bunny, and it's interesting because she lost a lot of followers when she started dressing and respecting herself and removing all that was fake from her body. And I think that's a telling reminder for parents that sexualization of young women cells. But what you just said, Melanie Hemphy, is so important. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timmy here on Relevant Radio with Melanie Hemphy from ScreenStrong.com. Take back your kid from the digital world. She is the go-to resource for how to phase in and delay technology or for how to remove it from your kid's life. But what you said, I want to emphasize, because you said it's great that these 8 states are taking the charge against TikTok and probing into what's happening that's impacting kids. However, this comes back to parents. This is a parent culpability issue, and that's the problem. I think that we're struggling to understand this. You know, maybe you didn't hear the news. I actually missed this story until today. October 2021, you probably knew this, Melanie. The Wall Street Journal reported that medical physicians were treating teen girls, and they were specifically addressing that TikTok seemed to be a cause of the sudden onset of tics, jerky movements, and verbal outbursts. And girls today are struggling because of this technology use. And what we're seeing is a firsthand example of the implosion of people, young girls who want to be heard, known, loved, understood, seen and accepted, but instead they're desperately trying to be seen and all of these things in any way possible, to the point where they're addicted to social media and they're literally twitching as a result of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Teens are not as resilient as we once thought. What we've learned in the last 10 to 15 years is that their brains are in a very different stage of development than an adult brain. And what you just said is exactly right. They physically now are having problems. Mentally, they're having problems. Emotionally, academically, relationally, just their ability to communicate. Everything is being torn apart by these apps because their brain is wired for novelty. Their brain is wired to seek out anything new and exciting and then to mimic it. So the reason why there's so many problems with the identity issue that we have in our culture is because they are so confused. They keep seeing things over and over and over again that they just should not be seeing. We know that virtue begets virtue, and virtue is not how you would describe the social media platform that kids are on. They are not getting examples of virtue.
And that's why we're talking about this here on Trending, because as people of faith, we speak about virtue, self-control, modesty, temperance, prudence. These are so important. We talked about prudence here on Trending yesterday. If you don't teach it to your kids when they're young, they will not get it. I remember I was reading Anne of Green Gables again a couple of years ago, and one of the things that it was talking about in this book was how it was understood that the formation of a character of a human being at that time when it was Lucy May Alcott who wrote that, right? I think so. Anyway, I digress. But that time frame, the expectation was that the formation of the character, like the going into adulthood, was really done in terms of how you interacted by your early teen years, around 13, right around the same age as puberty. And I thought that was so significant because this is the time where we're throwing our kids into the deep end, and we didn't give them any of the virtue ethic, any of the formation, the grounding. They're trying to figure it out at that time. And so this is why it's so important that we're looking at resources like Melanie Hemphy at ScreenStrong.com. We're going to talk about how to help your kids and teens reduce video game and social media use in just a little bit. But before we go there, Melanie, you mentioned a moment ago how kids need to get off of smartphones. How do you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really not as hard as you think. And what you just said about the foundation, you know, that they don't have the foundation yet, and then they're getting on all these platforms. You know, they don't have the foundation yet. Even if you're a great parent, the foundation is not built overnight. The foundation takes a number of years to develop. And so parents are getting so confused because they're like, we're telling our kids all these things they should be doing, right? We're trying to be a virtuous family. So why isn't it working when at the age of 13, they give them a phone and they get TikTok and they go off the rails? Well, it's not working because they are not ready. It doesn't matter how much you tell them or how much you have all the stuff in your home for them. It doesn't matter. Their brain isn't there yet. So the way that we take them off is very, very simple. And I know people are probably sitting at the edge of their chair. How in the world? The first thing you have to do, and I have a whole number of steps, so we'll just take them a little bit of a time, okay? Because I want you to be able to jump in and comment on the different few steps that we have. It's not that many. But the first thing you have to do is make the decision that you're done, that you are not going to keep fighting with your kids. You're not going to keep fighting with these companies, that you are going to actually get back into your family and reconnect. So the first thing you do is you decide, right? And then you become a coach. You change your parenting role from that of a wanting my kid to love me and like me all the time parent to that of a coach. And when you think about what a good coach does when they have a team, okay, that's losing and they need to shape them back up, what do? They work on the basics. They start working on the basics. If you're a baseball player, can't hit the baseball, you're going to go back to the basics of how to hold the bat. And so, and a good coach doesn't care if their players like them. They just want them to reach their potential. So do you see the difference there? The shift in parenting. We have to get back to this ideal style of parenting, which is this coaching mentality that we're not going to worry right now what our kids think about us. We are going to do the best thing for them, just like we would do for a sports team.
It's a trend that we're seeing clarifying the authoritative parent, I think, in not being a friendly parent. And it's hard for people to grasp that, but that is what we'll say with your kids. So what's the next point?
Well, and that is, if you don't get that part right, then you will lose this battle. You will lose it, because the virtual world is way stronger than you'll ever be as the friendly parent. You've got to be firm and loving, both of those things equally. So the next thing is that you've got to gather some support. You have to get a few friends around you. You have to find a few people to put in your village, to say to a school teacher, to your mother-in-law, to your neighbor, to your best friend, to your child's friend's mom. And you need to say, look, we're making changes. We are adopting the Screen Strong lifestyle where we are pausing video games and we're pausing smartphones. We're hitting the pause button and we're going to develop some other things in our life. We're going to focus on life skills and non-tech hobbies and different things that we can do. Do you want to come along with us? Because we're tired of the conflict and we're tired of the arguments. And would you please respect our decision to do this, even if you choose not to? And, you know, it's very much like an abstinence decision. It's very much like that. You get a lot of criticism for it, but then you know it's worth it because you don't have all of the conflicts that come with the other decision, which is to give all the stuff too early. The next thing you do is prepare. We have a lot of things on our website. We have a new course that's coming out, and we've got a list of things for you to do, to go to each room of your house, and you want to get rid of the screens that are causing the problems. Now, we're not saying to get rid of all screens. Keep your TV, have a family movie night, watch a ball game. That's all fine. What we're saying is to get rid of the toxic screens, like the phones, and to exchange that for a talk text phone. That we have one we recommend on our site that works very well. It's talk text. It doesn't have the internet. This is the perfect answer through all the way through adolescence. And I mean all the way through high school, right? And you have to go ahead. You have to prepare, because if you don't, then all of a sudden you try to make the decision on Monday. Hey, we're going to take all this stuff away. It's going to backfire. You've got to have a little prep, just like a good coach has a game plan. And he does a little homework and he figures out what to do. You have to do the same thing. And then, like I said, then you remove the screens. You have to remove them out of the house. You have to take that video game and take it out of your house. Take it, put it in your office. You have to, you know, get a lot of our families just get rid of them, because kids are wasting and spending so much time on that. And then for the smartphones, you have to go around your house and figure out where all the deactivated devices are. Because you might not know that your kids can still get on everything on a deactivated phone. All they have to do is hook it to Wi-Fi, which is everywhere. So that's something that parents don't know. And then the next thing that you do is start rebuilding their life skills. Remember what we just said about the coach. He has to go back to the basics.
Yes.
So they, you know, in a coaching team, right? You were in dance, right? So, you know, you got to start working on your core. You have to start working on how to build strength again in the very core of your child. And it's not going to be done by giving them devices. In fact, the devices take everything away from those core skills. And I mean everything from doing the dishes to making their lunch, all those types of life skills. But I also am talking about soft skills, which are the ability to communicate with people, look eye to eye, and not be feeling awkward, make the phone call, you know, call your friend's mom and ask if...
That's Melanie Hempe from ScreenStrong.com. We're going to come back and continue to help you in getting rid of the smartphone from your kid, how to help your kids remove video games and social media, and more. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Okay, listen, we need to take our kids back. It's been a bit of a trend all week. Yesterday during our marriage hour, we talked about what we have to sacrifice as parents for our kids in the face of the culture we're living in. We're joined by Charlie Jacobs, who had to intervene and take back her child from identifying as the opposite sex after being ushered into it by grooming on social media. Especially, by the way, people don't think Pinterest is a big deal, but on Pinterest and Instagram. And so we've heard a lot in the face of parents needing to take their kids back. But one of the questions is, how do you do that? So joining me now is Melanie Hempe from ScreenStrong.com, a resource you must keep in your back pocket. Please check them out, ScreenStrong.com. They have how-to guides, and we're going to talk about how to help your kids and teens reduce video game use and social media use and why that's important. But before we go there, we were talking about how to get rid of the smartphone. So Melanie, just to kind of summarize, you were talking about how important it is, number one, make the decision. Two, you got to make a plan. Can you quickly summarize the last few points you already went through? And then let's get kind of those final pieces that we need to get rid of that smartphone.
Yes. Yes. You have to make your plan. You have to change your attitude and become a coach. Stop thinking of yourself as the parent. I know this sounds really weird because you are the parent, but you have to be a coach. You have to parent like a coach and do hard things for your kids, for your team, because they can't do it. They're not able to do it. So you do this by one of the steps we were right talking about was the life skills. You start getting them to do their chores again. You start getting them to learn things, but we're also talking about soft skills. And these are things like being around people. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but they've been on their phone. Right? They've been on all these apps and TikTok and whatever. And every day that they are on that and that they're not around other people, it's getting harder and harder for them to be around real people again. So I'm talking about speaking. I'm talking about being in person, looking at somebody in the eye. So you've got to really work on these life skills again. We were talking about the core skills that kids need in order to develop into healthy adults. And then we need to replace this screen time. So when you take the phone away from your child, if they have been overusing it, which most of them do, most of them are using this 24/7. They have it in their bedroom, even though you think they don't. You keep it in the kitchen in the evening, but they go down in the middle of the night and get it. I mean, they're glued to this. These things are part of their identity. So we have to get rid of them. When we get rid of them, we have to replace them with other hobbies and interests and positive things to fill their time. And in the very beginning, parents are going to have to jump in and really help with this. But over time, it works itself out. So all the kids that go through Screen Strong Lifestyle, the program that we have for parents to get their kids back on track, in the beginning, it's tough because they're going through withdrawal. But it always gets better. It gets better over time. And it doesn't take that much time to reset their brain. The final thing that we do in our detox that we have, and we have a free 7-day detox that anybody can go and sign up for that, and you'll get the emails for that. And then in our course, we have a 30-day detox that brings you a whole lot more details. But the final step is that you've got to do things to reconnect your family. And that sounds so simple, right? But it's not. It's not as, I mean, it's simple, but you have to be very diligent to fight for this part. And this means things like, eating dinner together. I mean, Timory, did you grow up eating dinner with your family?
We did, even with some of the crazy schedules with dancing and my brother as he went into sports, we still made it happen, even if sometimes it was at weird times.
Yeah. And sometimes it's going to be on the weekend that you have a nice lunch together, but you've got to start being in the presence of your kids with your whole family present with no screens. And I know how hard this is. I know that you hear this all the time and it kind of comes in and out and we hear it. Oh yeah, no screens in the bedroom. Oh yeah, we're supposed to not have screens at the dinner table. I cannot tell you how important this is. And all of the traditions and routines and rituals that you do as a family, you have to pay attention to this more now than you've ever had to pay attention. If you have a daughter who is on these social media apps, you absolutely cannot help her unless she gets off of them, period. There is no way that you can train your child to be better than that app. There's no way you can train them to withstand the temptations. There's no way that you can train them not to fall into the abyss. It's like gravity. And parents keep trying to do this, all right? So for years, people have tried to do this, and they've tried to set parental controls, and they've tried to monitor, and they've tried to track. It doesn't work. It does not work. And it's not fair to our kids to keep putting them in situations that it's just too much for them to handle. In fact, you know, it's hard for adults to handle. Okay. Not just kids. It's really hard for adults to handle, but they don't have the ability. They don't have the frontal cortex. They don't have the brain development, and it's okay. They shouldn't.
That's why you're there as a parent.
Not be able to handle this.
Yeah. Why you're there as a parent.
And we have to let them have a childhood.
Yes, absolutely. You're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on Relevant Radio. That's Melanie Hempe from ScreenStrong.com. So following up on that, so we talked about how to get rid of the smartphone. How do you help your kids and teens reduce video game use and social media use?
Oh, well, it's the same way. So with video games, there is no – I have talked to so many pediatricians about video games, and nobody can tell me a good reason why kids need video games. Maybe in the old days when they played Pac-Man, it was fun, and we were at the arcade, and then we used up all our quarters, and we were fine, and we came home. But today's video games are so violent, and they are such a waste of time for kids. They need to be in person with their friends. They do not need to be on video games, and they're so addictive now. So you just have to get rid of them. We have a game-free home. A lot of families are moving toward a game-free home. And that means that video games, not the thing that we do in our house. And until you make that decision, then you're going to be in a literal battle with your child, because they will be so drawn to these video games. You have to do what everybody thinks is such a hard thing, which the secret is, it's not that hard to get rid of them, because once you get rid of them, after that initial shock, you get your kids back. You get them back.
Praise God.
And they start experiencing real life again. And you know, the same with smartphones and social media. You just have to hit the pause button. You delay. I have two teenage boys that are juniors, and they still don't have a smartphone. They are fine. They actually just did an interview on our podcast. It would be very interesting if parents are out there who have teenagers, or if you have a middle school child who you think that, you know, their head will explode or something if they don't have a smartphone. It's not true. You can hear the boys talk about it. It's not just me. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have gone through this. And, you know, this is the thing. The pendulum has swung so far in the direction of TikTok, okay, for example. And you mentioned Pinterest. You're exactly right. Pinterest is one of the largest porn providers. With every porn star has a Pinterest board. So if you allow Pinterest on your kid's phone, they're going to have access to that. But that pendulum has swung really far in the wrong direction. It has to come back to the center. There's going to be a very short time from now where we're going to look back and we're going to wonder, what were we thinking giving our kids computers in their pocket 24 hours a day? What were we thinking? It's like smoking. If you ever see a teenager smoking today, you think, where's that parent? Why is that child smoking? Don't they know the research? And that's right where we are. And that's why the states are having such a problem, you know, with TikTok, because they know the research. They know what this is doing. But as parents, we have to take our leadership back in our family.
Amen. And these are the reasons why you need to get rid of the smartphone, get rid of the video games, get rid of social media. We were a no video game house growing up. I was so grateful. You know, the brief moments where we're like, oh, maybe we'll have a little bit of, you know, the Wii. It's fun. Everyone can do it together. It had its season and it was gotten rid of. You know, I remember briefly playing a computer game. It made me angry, eventually gotten rid of. Same with my brother. We did not do video games growing up and it was so important. Now, Grant, I was also part of that age range where getting a cell phone really young was normal. It was viewed as something important for being safe and no one thought about, you know, some of the challenges there would be with cell phones. And what I will say is I'm glad I had it for the safety of it, needing to call my mom and all of those things, you know, to call your parents, to be in touch. But we don't need all the other capabilities. I wish I didn't have all the other capabilities. Right. It was a lot of wasted time on my part. So,
well, and people need to, parents need to understand that you can get these phones. If you go on our site, we have one we recommend, but it's just talk and text. So it solves all your problems. You can still text your child. They can call you, but they don't have the internet in their pocket.
Fantastic. And so you have a link to
freeing.
Yes. So what phone do you recommend for that? And I know you have these resources at screenstrong.com as well.
Yeah, all these resources are on our website. And the phone that we recommend, that if you use our code STRONG, STRONG, S-T-R-O-N-G, you get a discount. And it's the Gab phone. And that's the one that we really like the best. And we have that link, like I said, on our website. And this is a no-brainer. This is the easiest thing to do. This thing even looks like a smartphone, and I'm kind of bummed by that. I wish it looked like a flip phone, but it looks like a smartphone. And so my boys have this, and I think they're going to be coming back. I think the vintage look is going to be coming back. But, you know, teenagers have this phone, and it's fine. It's all they need. And I was even talking to my boys recently about when do you want to get a smartphone? And they said, you know, we don't even think we want one in college because we watch all of our friends, and they're glued to their phone all the time, and we like the freedom of not having that in our pocket all the time. And what a profound thing coming from them. That wouldn't it be nice if we had a break from our phone sometime, right? Well, when your kid, when you are a teenager, that is the only time of your life where you do get a break from all of this and you get to be a kid. And so as parents, we need to realize that and we need to dig in and do a little bit of research, take our Screen Strong course, understand what this is doing to their brain and get your confidence back and realize that just because something is convenient doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's convenient doesn't mean it's the best thing. And it, you know, it's fun maybe, but it doesn't mean that your kids need it. It what it takes from our kids, it takes way more than it gives.
That's Melanie Hempe from screenstrong.com. We're including links to all of the great resources she's mentioning. Follow me on Instagram. I have those links there. You can also catch them in the podcast notes at relevantradio.com/trending, available later today. Screenstrong.com, Melanie Hempe, helping you to take back your kid. We'll be back talking about how to get rid of vanity in our lives and Russia and Ukraine. Today's programming is brought to you by Colby Academy. Offering a customized Catholic curriculum, Colby Academy knows the ultimate goal of education is to help our children be saints. More info at relevantradio.com/Colby.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Have you decided what you're doing this Lent? I may know it may seem like a silly question because here we are, day 3 of Lent? But here's the deal. I have been there where you kind of make a plan, not really, or you're struggling with what you started, or you realize it's not practical. One thing you can do this Lent is you can start going to daily Mass, or maybe add a couple additional daily Mass in throughout the week. Why not receive our Lord Jesus Christ more often, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the most holy Eucharist? And by the way, you can learn more about the Mass with Lenten Lessons on the Mass by Father Rocky. Sign up at relevantradio.com/trending. Today's Lenten lesson had to do with the tabernacle. That is where our Lord Jesus Christ, the consecrated bread and wine that are transubstantiated into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's where our Lord's body is stored. Now, of course, blood of Christ is always fully consumed at Mass, but the additional Eucharistic hosts are housed in the tabernacle. And one passage or word that really stood out to me from Father Rocky's Lenten lesson was from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, where he wrote, "The Holy Eucharist is the center of absolutely everything." And this is why the tabernacle is at the center of the Mass, it's at the center of our liturgical worship, because there our Lord is housed. And this is a reminder as to why we genuflect when we enter the church, because we're genuflecting and bowing before our King, our God, and our Creator. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Okay, everyone's talking about what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. The Holy Father and the bishops have encouraged and asked us to, as we journey this Lent, to fast for peace in the world, to fast for what's happening to Ukraine, what's happening with Russia. There's so much to pray for as we see China probing at Taiwan. But as I was really thinking about this and diving into the topic, I wanted to speak briefly because I know a lot of us are overloaded in hearing about Russia and Taiwan, but I wanted to ask the question, why are we here? What happened? There are a lot of things that could be said, but I really do want to emphasize that abortion is a leading reason as to why we are seeing what is happening between Russia and Ukraine today. We could even argue some of that having to do with China as well, probing at Taiwan. You see, both the Russians looking at Ukraine as well as China looking at Taiwan consider Taiwan and Ukraine a group of people ethnically identical to themselves. Why is that significant? Because worldwide, we are starting to see a demographic winter. That is a phrase that has been coined talking about what's happening with the fact that we're below replacement level. People such as the Ruth Institute, Jennifer Roback Morse, and their researchers there at the Ruth Institute have really highlighted the fact that we are seeing this massive crisis today when it comes to if we have enough people in our nations and if various people who lead those nations think that that's enough people or not. We saw China implement a 1 and then 2 and 3 child policy, then get rid of it altogether. And then you see places such as Russia where abortion numbers were so high during the Soviet Union that they really led to this decline in their population. You see, this is the silent problem behind what's happening with China and Ukraine. But let's focus a little bit here for a moment on specifically Ukraine and Russia. Because what was observed by Don Feder at the Ruth Institute, he commented that most observations on Russia and Ukraine, they're missing the demographic winter. The crisis is this for Russia. Russia needs people. And Russia believes, as I mentioned before, just like China to Taiwan, Russia believes that technically Ukraine belongs to them. And essentially, they're looking at there in Russia, their 41 million people that they could assume into Russia by taking over Ukraine that would increase their population by 30%. Why is this significant? Because Russia's fertility rate for years has been below replacement level. They're at 1.8 to just maintain replacement level. We would need people to have 2.1 children. How you have 0.1 children, I don't know, but you can help make up on that for me because I'm not quite there yet. So here's the deal. What we're seeing is that multiple nations from the United States to Russia to China and others are below replacement level when it comes to having enough children. In China alone, they're facing a crisis where there are not enough women to marry unmarried men in China. And we're seeing this other places. And when we've seen this historically happen, what's occurred is that there tends to be war. When the demographic makeup between male and female, when we're below replacement level, war ensues. We've seen this over the last couple hundred years. Now, what's interesting is for Russia and the United States to have a replacement level of 1.8 for Russia and 1.7 for the US, well, this is radically different from a world we lived in 60 years ago. In 1960, worldwide, the average number of children per woman was 5. Now, today, worldwide, we're at 2.4. Now, that number's dropping. We're almost below replacement level worldwide. We're seeing this begin to be a problem when it comes to things such as manpower in places like Japan and others, where there's a whole business literally just in cleaning up the dead bodies of people in China whose bodies have been rotting because there are no family members to care for or know that their family member has died because people aren't having enough kids. So if you look at this whole situation, it comes down to the issue of ideology, theology, and political philosophy, all of which are synergistically tied together. Whether we like to tie them together or not, they should be, they must be, because the human person is not a dichotomy. The human person is one and meant to be united with God, our creator. So what we're seeing is really from Russia, we see examples from China, we see examples of things such as the ideology of socialism, which rejects the human person. Socialism touching on essentially secularism, the rejection of God. What we've seen is that what's led to this crisis between Russia and Ukraine, between China and Taiwan, is ultimately a three-pronged crisis. Number one, it's a rejection and misunderstanding of the human person as a good with an eternal soul created to be with God. Second, it's a rejection and misunderstanding of the human family and human flourishment within the family, and therefore the state intervention when it comes to the family, that they have a better right to say about whether or not you will have a family and how those children are raised and what ideology and theology they have. This is scary because we're seeing the same problem here in the United States, and I pray and hope enough parents speak up so that we do not see what's happened to China, what's happened to Russia occur. And third, it's a problem of widespread acceptance of abortion, at times forced abortion in places such as China. Not just abortion, but also contraception. Just think about it. In the 80s in Russia, there were two abortions for every birth. So for every baby born, two babies died. In 1965, there were three abortions for every baby born. What does that number add up to? 60 years ago in Russia, three out of four babies were aborted, were killed because of abortion. For years, the Russians used abortion as birth control. They're not the only place that has done that. And by the way, we too do this here in the United States. Birth control or abortion is a fail-safe to birth control. So all of this being said, at the heart of what's happening, it's a theological issue that leads to the breakdown of the family, encourages the breakdown of the family based on philosophies about everything, as I mentioned before, from theology to ultimately our philosophies having to do with politics and ideology. So we must take a lesson from what's happening with China, with Russia, with Taiwan, with Ukraine. We must understand the Catholic view of the human person, the God-given identity of the human person must be taken back. This is so important to regain an understanding, to teach our children, to teach ourselves what the church actually teaches on the value of the human person. That our value is not for the state. Our value is not for others on social media. Our value is given to us by God, and we must value ourselves and others based on that God-given identity, created in His image, in His likeness, and with a purpose. We also have to return to valuing motherhood that has been destroyed worldwide by the outrageous policies in places such as China with forced abortion, or in Russia with this abortion culture where three out of four babies were being murdered in their mother's wombs just 60 years ago. We have to return to parents as the primary educators of their children, not defaulting to schools, not defaulting to the government, but defaulting to ourselves as taking responsibility even when it's difficult. We talked about this yesterday on Trending, how as spouses, our primary roles are to be the educators of our children, to not just outsource, but to verify and hold accountable and to spend time and lots of time with our kids. Actually, I have a witness of this. My arms are covered in, I think, dry snot. My baby's teething, I think, has a cold. Like, literally, I'm covered in dry snot right now. It's been, like, one thing after another with her. It's a reminder, like, yes, it's difficult. Yes, we have to make a lot of sacrifices, but our kids need us. That's the mission of marriage as a sacramental marriage in the church. And we have to return to this. God's vision for the human person, God's vision for marriage, God's vision for our children is what will protect us from what's happening in Russia, with what's happening in China, and what will help us to be defenders of other nations and not succumb to the same ideologies and theologies that are destroying people in the world today. This is how we will have peace, by yes, praying and begging for God's help, but also living out God's vision for the human person. Knowing that we are created in God's image, body and soul, makes us happy. So let's talk about it Monday during our weekly happy hour. This is Timmy from Trending with Timmy. Licensed marriage and family therapist Michael Gasparo joins me during our weekly happy hour to discuss how social media and radical gender ideology get in the way of our happiness and what we can do about it. Join me Monday, 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.